Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Okay, well, what is happening at the universities? It is, especially in the United States, Columbia University is, it looks like ground zero of this whole anti-Semitic stance. But is it? Anne Hertzberg, she's a legal advisor of NGO Monitor. She's an expert at Lawfare, and she is a Columbia alumnus. Anne, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Yeah, so quite the, this must be very, very strange for somebody who, Columbia University has this a well-deserved reputation of being an incredibly, incredibly high standard. It is for those who really want to attain. So most of your life, I would imagine you've been a Columbia alumnus with pride. How does it feel now?
Yeah, it's very disturbing and upsetting. You know, I feel it degrades my degree.
I wonder if it does. It might well. I mean, even though it obviously doesn't, because it can't take away what you've learned and gained. But in a way, it maybe does make you make it feel less than.
Yeah, it does. And also, for people who don't know, Columbia is situated in the Upper West Side of Manhattan, in the center of the one of the largest Jewish neighborhoods in New York City. And there are many, many Jewish students at Columbia. So it's somewhat not surprising, based on what we've been seeing at these protests since October 7th, that they would choose Columbia in which to be active. Because what this really is about is intimidating Jews.
But the incredible thing is that it's, I mean, I'm saying it like it's quite judgmental, but that it's been allowed to happen. This is a Jewish city. It is a it has a Jewish flavor, even if people aren't Jewish. It's got the highest population of Jews in one place outside of Israel, from what I understand. And here in the heart of it is where we are seeing this play out.
Yeah, it is outrageous. New York City does have over 1 million Jews, so it is the largest Jewish population center outside of Israel. One thing to know, though, about Columbia is this, unfortunately, is not a, I mean, the intensity which we're seeing is new. But throughout the years, particularly the past, I'd say 20 years or so, after I went there, actually, is when things have gotten much, much worse. So, beginning, Edward Said, who you may know, who's really one of the founders of this type of BDS, Free Palestine type movement, was a professor there. There were several professors in his ilk at Columbia. And there was a lot of, in the early 2000s, a lot of students were upset about anti-Semitism and harassment on campus. And then in 2007, the administration brought Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the former president of Iran, to campus to give a speech, which also was outrageous because, again, this was after he had made anti-Semitic and genocidal comments towards Israel and notoriously at that talk said, for instance, there were no gays in Iran. So this is something that's been going on for a while. And even at the law school where I went, there were several professors that are very active, if not leaders, in the BDS movement. So unfortunately, this type of atmosphere is not unknown to Columbia, but what's going on now has surpassed anything that happened before, and you have to place it on the heads of the administrators who have done nothing to stop it.
Do you think, and I asked to Professor Bill Kohlbrenner this question before, he wasn't sure, do you think this is the turning point or the tipping point? Do you think that now something will change?
I thought so. I mean, I thought after October 7th, when these protests really started in earnest and the nature of these protests, that the administration would take action. And they seemed to, at least at first, they had banned two groups that are really responsible on campus for creating this atmosphere. One is known as Students for Justice in Palestine, and the other is known as Jewish Voice for Peace. So they were banned from campus. I'm not quite sure officially where their status stands, but they are certainly still active on campus. So they are part of the problem. They're still being allowed to operate. I think also it's important for the listeners to note, what's interesting is immediately after the violence of October 7th, these protests started. And when have they ramped up again? After Iran launched 300 missiles and drones onto Israel. So it appears that when Israel is under the most threat, when Jews are under the most threat, when they've experienced horrific levels of violence, it's when these protesters get most emboldened. And I think that says everything about these protesters and why they're not peaceful. And that's also why the administration, I don't know if it's going to be a turning point, but if not, the administration should certainly all be fired.
What should they do now? What should the university be doing? I was thinking about it earlier, and it's a very difficult position, because do they shut down campus, clear campus until orders restored, which is a victory, handing a victory to the anti-Israel protesters to some degree? Should they be arresting people, creating more of a hotspot? What is the answer, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a few things they can do. Number one is, last night I saw the administration put out a statement saying they were going to increase security on campus and escorts, but that's outrageous because,
come on,
escorts is not the problem.
No, I don't think so.
They need to stop the violence. So they need to start putting out extremely tough statements about what is going on and how it's not acceptable. And those statements should say things like, any students that are making violent comments, harassing Jewish students, need to be suspended, and if not expelled and preventing from graduating. That's the first thing they should be doing. The police need to be coming in and making arrests. And they also need to block, also the way the campus is, it abuts the Broadway, which is a major street in New York City. They need to have some sort of cordon, I believe, in front of the gate to the university to prevent also outside protesters who have been entering campus illegally from protesting right outside the gates, because that's also where a lot of the violence has been taking place. Think these are, at a minimum, things that need to happen.
Yeah, I would think that makes sense, as you make sure that campus is for the students, and you make sure that nobody is allowed access onto campus unless they are a student. And if they are, then you have a way, there is a way to sanction them. And if their behavior is not in keeping with conduct, then that's the consequences should be following from there. The question, of course, is the university willing to do that? From what we've seen at Harvard, at Yale, there was the most terrible incident over the weekend at Yale as well, where the editor of the newspaper was attacked with a flag, all in the name of free speech, of course. It's really, really a very, very volatile and dangerous place. It's not just Columbia.
Absolutely. And it appears that the Students for Justice in Palestine put out a notice that they want to expand what they've been doing to other campuses across the country. So this really is, a national crisis. And also, I do think it's incumbent upon the Biden administration to start speaking out strongly about this. They've given some weak statements. Congress, as we spoke about 2 weeks ago, I believe, had passed legislation about impaneling a national task force to combat anti-Semitism. So the president really needs to step up, make much stronger public statements than he's been doing, and really convene that task force right away to come up with solutions, because I fear, this is only the tip of the iceberg, and it is going to spread to other campuses very rapidly.
That is where we leave it. Thank you, as always, for making the time to speak to us. Anne Hertzberg, wishing you a Chag Sameach. Anne is a legal advisor of NGO Monitor and expert in lawfare.